Okay, thanks very much, Wendy. Can you hear me okay with the microphone? Great. What I'd like to present is James's work, and in fact it's all of our work, including Wendy, on the whole process of taking vertical programs with respect to HIV and trying to integrate and decentralize these programs to make them fit within a primary healthcare setting network and to provide better and more accessible care. Let's see. Disclosure statement is that I've been involved in this study and I have no financial relationships. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Mozambique, which is that it's a country of about 20 million, 2 million of whom are HIV positive. About 400,000 need at this moment HART, which is highly active antiretroviral therapy. And in about 2004, we started a major expansion of free HART in the public health system. There had been efforts to do triple therapy with a couple of NGOs, including our own, prior to that. But in 2004, they made a national plan. HIV care in Mozambique, I'll talk about three aspects of care. First is the antiretroviral treatment. We use the model that was, I think, promulgated mostly by the donors, PEPFAR, CDC, et cetera, and UNAIDS, which is using the day hospital model. Basically, these were big sort of centers of excellence in large urban centers, generally speaking with an independent infrastructure to make sure that all the people and the stuff got there at the right time. The patients were typically referred from other sectors of the hospital, and oftentimes you had this day hospital that was both physically separate, usually with nicer conditions than the rest of the hospital, and oftentimes there was a bit of resentment about the fact that one sector was doing well and the other not so well. There was a pressure to decentralize because rather quickly the patients in these day hospitals exceeded the capacity of the hospital. They became very full. They didn't have particularly good geographic coverage. Major challenges of adherence occurred because there were just so many people. They were just, you know, really full of folks, and it was hard to keep up. And as I said, other sectors were typically ignored. With respect to mother and child transmission, I think actually I won't talk about this because Wendy's going to be covering the PMTCT piece. With respect to counseling and testing, we typically had independent sites that oftentimes had independent personnel, logistics, computerized systems that worked very well independently but didn't necessarily link with the other systems. And they oftentimes had a combination referral and first encounter services at these sites. There was a pressure to integrate the VCT sites because you would get lots of missed opportunities, not only from screening from clinical services like TB, inpatient, outpatient services, but a large portion of the population were lost to follow-up because they didn't have any place to go in these freestanding clinics. So the integration and decentralization interventions occurred. They started in about 2005 when it was clear that there were these problems that were developing, particularly with the efforts of the Ministry of Health and our NGO, Health Alliance International, that works actually within and very close to and within the Ministry of Health in two major provinces of Mozambique, Manica and Sofala. The decentralization and, in fact, integration of HART occurred with about seven steps. One was first to decentralize in terms of going to rural hospitals and district capitals, and then, as you'll see with some maps that I'll show, to much more peripheral sites, with a lot of concern, of course, because people were concerned that, gee, if you got to peripheral sites, you'd lose the center of excellence, you would lose the standard of care that you had at these big sites. To integrate routine activities at the health units, particularly integrating antiretroviral care with typical outpatient care, so you didn't have a specific clinic, also integrating with antenatal care and VCT. Hiring additional personnel within the Ministry of Health across the board, as opposed to specifically within these services. Lots of training and coaching. That's the model of HAI, which is you do very, very short training, and most of it is sort of ongoing coaching of personnel. strengthening the laboratory network, developing infrastructure, logistic improvement for the whole system, and then support of monitoring and evaluation, particularly integrating monitoring and evaluation systems. Other interventions were that PMTCT was, or prevention of mother to child transmission was integrated in a service package for prenatal care. Voluntary counseling and testing was integrated into other services, first the tuberculosis services, then progressively so that inpatients and then ambulatory care had the VCT. So again, it was just within those, a health center with the standard services. And then with respect to antiretroviral therapy, it was integrated with community groups, particularly the home-based care that had been sort of palliative care oriented and then began to be oriented towards antiretroviral care and with community leaders councils. The idea was to improve service usage, to use the home-based care system for adherence, and to adapt the system to the needs of the population. We also spent a fair amount of time developing and supporting operations research capacity so that you could find out where the bottlenecks were in the entire system to be able to improve pieces of the system in these bottlenecks. And this is a series of maps of the two provinces. These two provinces have a population of about 2 million. The size of the two provinces, as I looked at yesterday coming down here, is about the size of sort of between Utah and Arizona. And in 2003, before this expansion, there was one center of excellence providing antiretroviral care, which was new at that time. There were about 2,000 HIV positives who registered, and about 94 got into triple therapy. The expansion in 2004, there was another place in Chamoyo, which was doing triple therapy, and about 7,000 or so were registered, and about 600. So obviously it expanded rapidly. But this is still the model of the centers of excellence. Then in 2005, the expansion began with the integrated model. And we had five facilities providing triple therapy. A lot of people were concerned about this because we were going out of these centers of excellence. About 19,000 HIV positives were registered, and about 2,500 were put into treatment. By 2006, there were 13 new sites. 17 were providing heart. 36,000 were registered. 5,000 were in treatment, and we started treating kids, although only 420 were treated by that time. By 2007, you can see that 47 sites were at that point providing heart, 63,000 were registered as HIV positives, 13,000 were in treatment, and the numbers of kids got up to a slightly more reasonable number. And then 2008, and we're in the middle of or almost near the end of 2008 now, we had 53 sites that were planned. We actually have 55 sites right now. 100,000 HIV positives are registered. 23,000, almost 24,000 are in antiretroviral care. Right now, I think in May it was about 22,000, so it's likely to be a fair amount higher than that. And about 3,500 kids were in treatment. And then, whoops, for 2009, the expectation is 87 facilities will be providing triple therapy. 180,000 will be registered, 45,000 in triple therapy. And all health facilities with TB services now are providing opt-out testing for HIV, and 202 sites are providing mother-to-child transmission. So you can see that it's very, very difficult to be in a situation where you're living a long way from a place that has HIV care. Now, the first question that comes up is you'll say, whoa, how can you do it, you know? How can you have that many sites that are providing care? Is there an infrastructure? Does it work? And what I'd like to suggest is that it actually works better this way. If you look at a couple of issues, one is the proportion of folks who get into heart of those registered and the proportion who get in within 90 days. If you look at these two groups, which I've circled, the two groups are the integrated groups, and the groups on the other side, the DH groups, are the sort of centers of excellence. And you find that not only are they as good, but they're slightly better in terms of the proportion who get into highly active antiretroviral care, as well as the speed with which they get into care. And we were pleased when we saw these numbers. Thank you. The number of people tested and counseled for HIV has gone up substantially. Obviously, the number of sites has gone up, and actually the number of the proportion positive has gone up. We don't have numbers on the referral patterns, but our thinking is that the referral has been better of the positives to treatment, as you can see in the previous slide. If you look at the laboratory referral system, we start out with laboratories just at those two sites that you can see, the two R sites. And then we developed upgrading of labs in the peripheral sites and then strengthened referral system for 25 more sites. So what it basically means is that even though you only have CD4s for a long time just in those two sites, you were able to get CD4s as well as hematology, clinical chemistry, et cetera, in all of the sites. So it really made laboratory available. So finally, discussion is that decentralization and integration can improve access. It can improve quality and efficiency of VCT, PMTCT, and heart. It can increase the speed incredibly of the scale-up. It can improve systems of care for integrated antenatal care, HIV, TB, and laboratory services. And it can improve the sustainability of the system of services by creating systems within the Ministry of Health. Our recommendations are that NGOs and donors should coordinate with the ministries of health to integrate heart into primary health care, to expand prevention care and treatment, to strengthen the existing system, and to avoid creating parallel systems. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. So we're going to try to hold questions until the end and have everyone question at the end. Hopefully we'll have 15 or 20 minutes for that at the end. Let's see. So